read the Word of God together and pray that the Lord will certainly help us in the preaching hour tonight. We've been a little slow, and God's able to help us. Amen.
Yep.
God's able to do great and mighty things that we know not of. Now, I had intended to finish out chapter number 2 tonight in the book of 1 John. But the Lord got my attention back again in verse number 28. Rather than going on to verse 29, and I want to preach from that verse one more time at least, out of verse number 28, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 28. That's where I want to be preaching from in the service tonight. Let's read that verse together. The Bible said, "And now, little children," that is God's born again ones, God's little ones, God's children. He said, "Abide in me, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading of the word. Let's look to him in a moment of prayer, and we'll try to preach the message God's laid on our heart tonight. Okay, our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight. We thank you for the grace that you've already given. I know, Lord, you're able to overcome. You're able to deliver. You're able to grant power and grant liberty in the house of God. I pray you'll do so. I pray you'll anoint your preacher tonight and give me the power that I need to preach the Word of God. And, Father, that you'd speak to hearts of your people, that you'd open their hearts by the Spirit of God. May thy word find lodging in each of our hearts, that we might be fruitful unto thee, that we might live a life, Lord, that pleases thee, and not be ashamed at the coming of our Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, for these that we called out earlier that sick, and some in hospital, some facing surgery, some sick in body, some have lost loved ones and family that needs to be birthed into the family of God. And I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for your people that are here. We need revival in the church. I need revival. The church needs revival. I pray you stir our hearts together tonight in the Word of God and do great and mighty things for us, Lord. Turn our hearts back to thee, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time where Brother John says, "And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." I want you to notice those words where John said, "We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And I want to preach for a little while on that thought, not on us being ashamed, although I'm afraid that many of us may very well be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. I'm afraid there's going to be many, many Baptists, many saved people that are ashamed at the coming of the Lord when we have to look him in the face with what we have done for him and the way we have obeyed him in our Christian life. We may very well be ashamed. And by the way, one look of him will embarrass us. I'll assure you of that. All it took was one little glance from Pilate's judgment hall to where Peter was. And Peter was ashamed and went out and wept bitterly because he had denied the Lord. But that's not what I want to preach on. I want to try to encourage our hearts tonight. I really mean that. I want to try to encourage us a little while and preach on that thought of our confidence. I want to preach again tonight from verse 28 on the thought of our confidence. John had been a teacher, and John had also been a pastor, probably, more likely than not, to the people that he is writing, to here. And it was his heart's desire that both himself and the people would be shameless and possess a great confidence in their life's work at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And you know, that's the heartbeat of every man of God. He wants his people to be shameless at the appearing of the Lord. He wants himself to be that way. I know I want to be that way. I don't want to shirk from my responsibilities God's given me. I don't want to draw back in the faith that God's given me. I want to go forward and live a life that pleases him. I want to hear him say, when it's all said and done, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And the only way we can accomplish that is by living a life that pleases our God. And if we do that, we'll never be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. I want to say tonight, this is not in my notes, but I want to say it, that obedience is the bottom line of it all. That's the bottom line, whether we've been obedient or not. You know, when you was a child and you went out and mom and dad had told you, said, now I'm telling you, don't go here or don't go there or don't do this or don't do that. And once we got out of the house, we thought, well, they'll never find out. They'll never know. And we went on our little merry way and done what we wanted to do. But when we come back, we had a problem. We couldn't look mom and daddy in the face. Because mom and daddy wasn't as dumb as what we thought they were. They were a little bit smarter than what we thought they were. And the problem was we were ashamed because we had done what mom and daddy told us not to do. I remember my oldest brother done that one day. My mom told him, said, don't you go out there where those boys are. And it was up over the hill and past Grandpa Hall's house and on out past Uncle Forrest's house out to a little place where a bunch of boys were playing. Well, Mama, almost within minutes knew that he was gone. And she cut her a good limb, headed in that direction. And I won't tell you, when Mama told him the next time, don't you go out there, I'm going to tell you something, he didn't go out there. And I'm afraid that's the way many Baptists are. We're going to be ashamed that it's coming, but we don't have to be. We can have great confidence in the Lord and be able to look our God in the face when He appears and be shameless, and not be embarrassed of the life that we have lived for His honor and for His glory. Now, the confidence here that John is talking about can only be had through our abiding in Christ. He said, and now, little children, abide in Him. That, when He shall appear, we may have confidence. Now, that abiding in Him is not salvation. I told you that we're in Him, that's a union. But our abiding in Him is our fellowship and our communion with Him. It's walking every day in the footsteps of our Lord and being obedient to the Word of God and abiding in Him. He said in John, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And the question tonight is, are we abiding in Christ? Are we pleasing in the eyes of the Lord? Is the life's work that we have done pleasing in the eyes of Almighty God? That living our life in the most part in true fellowship and anointing with Christ is abiding in Christ. And to do that, we're going to have to give a continued evidence of our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to be loyalty to our Lord. I was loyal to our country, and I am loyal to our country. I don't like draft dodgers. I don't like flag burners. Hey, somebody say amen. I don't like hippie protesters. I don't like people that burn our country down because of something that our military or our government is doing that they don't approve of. I'm loyal to our country. I fought for our country. I saw men shed blood for our country. I saw men die for our country. I was with men that died for our country. And if men were willing to die and lay down their lives for a country, how much more should you and I be willing to lay our lives down for the glory of God and be loyal to the Lord that died in our place and saved us from our sin. Amen. And if we're going to abide in Him, we're going to have to continue in that way, being loyal unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to have to make Him the grand object of our heart and the center of our affections. That's right, we're going to have to set Him on the throne of our heart. Somebody said, how can I abide in Christ? Set Him on the throne of your heart. Keep Him in your affections. Don't let anything or anybody rob you of your affections you have for Christ. I'll tell you, I love my wife. She is the apple of my eye. I'm telling you, her and I, we've been married over 41 years, and I love her with all of my heart, but I'm telling you that my love for the Lord is number one. It's number one. Why he's done for me what Miss Hall can never do. He died in my place and gave his life on Calvary that I might be saved by the good grace of God. And I owe him my affections. And I'm going to say this. If I'm living right, she can have my affections and he can have my affections also. For the Bible said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So if I love her with that kind of a love, that means I'm loving him with that kind of a love, and I have set my affections upon him. Did not Paul say that we ought to set our affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God? And if we're going to abide in Christ, we're going to have to set our affections upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our hearts and our affections centered around the Lord. We're going to have to follow the example that he has left us. Christ has left us an example. I think of that old hymn that we sang, following the footsteps of Jesus. Wherever they lead us, that's where we ought to go. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, the first place they lead you is up Calvary's hill, Calvary's mountain. Then they will lead you in the footsteps of obedience. Then they will lead us in the footsteps of suffering. He left us an example that he suffered for us, in that we ought to also suffer ourselves. Somebody say amen right there. That's one of the biggest problems in our churches today, is why we have very little of the power and the presence of God, is that we're not willing to suffer one ounce for Christ. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. We're not willing to go that extra mile for our neighbor. We're not willing to suffer as Christ did. Oh, no, we got to have all the comforts and all the luxuries of life. But I'm telling you, we don't have to have all them things. What we have to have, or who we have to have, is him. Somebody say amen right there. That is exactly right. And abiding in him, we'll follow that example that he has left us. Then we are to seek all our joy in him. Yeah. Hallelujah. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. What do you find joy in? And you've got to contrast it with the world. Do we find joy in coming to the house of God? If we do, I don't know where it went tonight. It must have snuck out the back door. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Is our chief joy in the Lord? I'm going to tell you, there's really several things that can rob us of the Lord's joy, but there's only one thing primarily. All these other little things are involved in one major thing, and that is the world. The world can rob us of our joy of the Lord. I'm telling you, if we have more joy out yonder in the world than we do in the Lord, we got problems. If we have more joy in a deer stand than we do in a church house, we got problems. If we have more joy on the pond bank than we do in the house of God, we got problems. Amen. I believe David said, he is my chief joy. Hallelujah to God. He is the one that ought to rejoice our heart more than anybody or anything. The Lord Jesus ought to rejoice our heart and make us glad, praise God, that we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. There is an anointing of the oil of gladness that he can give us and make us even glad when we're sad. He can even make you glad when you're mad. He can even make you glad when you're mad. Amen. He ought to be our chief joy. He is able to do that. I believe God is able to revive us and give us the joy that we need. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, we are to endeavor to become better established in his doctrine. I wonder how many of us really, and I ain't got to the message yet, I'll get there in a minute. I'm meddling a little while right now. If we're going to abide in him, we're going to have to establish ourselves in the doctrines of this book. Amen. I'm talking about major doctrines. Right. I'm not talking about necessarily just getting on the right kind of clothes. Amen. That counts. And I'm just not talking about getting the television out of our house. That helps. Amen. But I'm telling you, hey, there are some Bible doctrines that we need to be knowledgeable about. We need to be knowledgeable about the doctrine of justification. That we're justified by faith. We need to be knowledgeable about the doctrine of sanctification. That is, we have been set apart a holy vessel for Him. If we would realize that He has saved us, and when He did, He sanctified us and set us apart as a holy vessel unto Him, I believe we'd watch our P's and Q's a little bit more. We are a holy vessel unto the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. He has made us holy. One of the things that ought to rejoice your heart more than anything in the world is God's imputed righteousness to us, a sinner. Somebody said, what is imputed righteousness? God just said you're righteous, and because He said it, you are. Amen to God. Just like He spoke, and the moon jumped up out of nowhere. Amen. And He spoke, and the star just appeared. Well, He just spoke, and you were justified. Somebody said, has God's Word got that kind of power? God's Word, ladies and gentlemen, upholds the very world that we're living in. He created all things, and by the Word of His power, they are stayed where they are. That's exactly right. Somebody said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. It don't make a flip whether you believe it or not. God said it, and that's all she wrote, dear John. Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, we ought to strive to grow in grace and knowledge of Him. Ought to learn more about Jesus. All more about Jesus, what I know, if we're going to abide in Him. And nothing will effectually preserve you from error as to keep your hearts and minds stayed on the Lord. Oh, that's a problem today. Letting our hearts and our minds wander on things rather than keeping our minds stayed upon the Lord.
Amen.
Keeping Him in our thoughts. That's right. The Bible said in the book of Psalms that He thinketh upon me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if we're right with God, if He's thinking about us, we ought to be thinking about Him. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know He's thinking about us. If we can get us thinking about Him, things will pick up.
Amen.
Things will pick up. Amen. Things will pick up. Somebody said, how do you know they will? I've been married 41 years plus. I'm not dumb. Now, that'll soak in on you after a while. You get a man thinking about his wife and the wife thinking about her husband, things will pick up in the house. Amen. That's right. That home will be full of love. Things will pick up in that house. You get a man thinking on God and God thinking on man, things will pick up. Amen. There'll be some spiritual sparks flying around in the air. Amen. It'll be the right kind of spiritual sparks. Amen. Get our hearts in love with Him. Keep our minds stayed on Him. In fact, Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And why? Because he trusteth in thee. That's right. No. Faith is not a frigid and naked apprehension of Him, but it is a lively and real sense of God's power which produces confidence. Amen. It's not just something cold and frigid. It's warming our hearts in Him, abiding in Him, and warming our hearts in Him. It's not cold and frigid, no sir, but it's warm and glowing and blessed and precious. And it's a real sense of God's power. I wonder how many in here tonight have really got a real sense of the power of God. We don't know what the power of God is. If we do, we certainly don't act like we understand what the power or how much power our God has got. We let the devil trample all over the top of us, the world overrun us. We let the flesh overcome us without ever one time realizing what the power of God can do on our behalf. Amen. That's right. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Now, all who trust in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, all who genuinely endeavor to live under Christ, will die in Christ.
Amen.
Boy, that's the bottom line.
Right.
If we live in Christ, if we abide in Christ, we're going to die in Christ.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know that? Because Paul said in Hebrews 11:13, these all These all, I'll get it out here in a minute, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They all died in faith. You know why they died in faith? Because they lived by faith and they abided in Christ. Amen to God. You live for Him. You won't have to worry about dying. I wonder how many in here tonight, really in your heart, come on now, let's get down where the rubber meets the road. How many in here tonight can honestly say, don't raise your hand, can honestly say, I have no fear at all of dying. I'm not a bit afraid of what's on the other side of death. There's not many Baptists that can really say that tonight. There is a certain fear of death. In fact, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that they lived in fear of death all their lifetime. But those that are in Christ have no fear of death, for we have already passed, come on now, from death unto life. Therefore, there's no fear of death. Come on, scaredy cat. Hallelujah to God. There ain't no need of being afraid of the darkness out there, the boogeyman. Thank God when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I know that my God will be there with me, that His rod, His staff will comfort me. He'll anoint my head with oil. My cup will run over. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen to God. That's right. Now, I've got four little points and we're out of here. Well, they got some sub-points. Now, some things we need confidence in. I wonder if we've really got confidence in the cross. For alliteration's sake, I alliterated it tree. Do we really have confidence in the cross upon which the Prince of Glory died? I'm talking about, hey, real cotton. Now, come on now. Somebody said, well, sure we do. Sometimes I wonder. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. That sounds like confidence to me. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto whom, what does it say? Unto whom? The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, the world is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. Hallelujah. But I've also been crucified again. I've been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. It's Christ that's living in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. I wonder, do we really have confidence in Calvary? Come on in the house now. Do we really have confidence in Calvary to deliver sinners? Do we really believe it's in the cross or in something else? Are we Baptists or are we General Baptists? Are we Baptists or are we Pentecostals? Are we Bible believers or Bible deniers? When the Bible, when Paul said, I'm going to glory in the cross, Paul said, I can't glory in the cross because all my hope, all my faith, all my confidence is in the cross upon which the Prince of Glory died.
Amen.
That's right. You really got confidence in the cross that it delivers sinners. Now here's where rubber's going to meet the road a little bit. We'd all say, sure it does, I'm saved. Well, I wonder if we believe it or not. Because I don't know whether we believe God can save people today. You think the cross has lost its power? There's still resurrection power in the cross, friend. It's not in a water fountain. No, it's not signing a card. It's not joining the church. Praise God, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And where was that blood shed but on the cross? That's right. He gave it all. I heard somebody say one time, and I won't mention his name, some of you know who it was. I believe it was a little hyper-Calvinistic. When he said there won't be one drop of the Lord's blood wasted. In other words, every sinner He died for will be saved. That's called limited atonement. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. My thought that run through my mind when I heard that statement was, He had to shed it all for every sinner. It didn't take one. You don't ration out God's blood. A little drop for this one, a little drop for that one. Here a drop, there a drop, everywhere a drop, drop. He shed it all. And it took it all for me, and it took it all for you. Amen. It'll take it all for sinners today. And I've got news for you. It's all preserved. Amen to God. On the mercy seat in heaven itself. Thank God. The blood just as fresh there today as it ever was. That was shed on the old rugged cross. Thank God. I've got confidence in the cross. It'll deliver sinners. By the way, you're looking at one. Hallelujah to God. I've been delivered. I've been purchased out of the slave market of sin, born again, birthed into the family of God, saved by grace, sanctified, sealed, hallelujah, and going to glory.
Amen.
Amen. You got confidence that cross will deliver sinners?
Amen.
Oh boy, here's where we're going to find the problem. Do you have confidence in the cross? That it'll delight the saints.
Amen.
Nothing stirs my soul more than when I direct my thoughts to Calvary.
Amen.
Woo! I delight in the old rugged cross.
Amen.
Yes, up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn. Woke Christ my Savior weary and worn.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, we ought to be able to delight ourselves.
Amen.
In the cross, knowing that in that he died no more, and that he saves unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Hallelujah to God. I'm happy tonight. I'm delighted tonight. In the cross. Hallelujah. Somebody, we had a fellow come in here today. Hope we don't ever hear this tape. Brother Steve called. I was getting ready to walk out the door. And Brother Steve said, "Preacher, when are you coming over or something? I'm getting ready to walk out the door." He said, "Somebody over here wants to see you." So I walked in, and he said, "There's that devil chaser." And I thought to myself, I'm afraid it's the other way around. I believe he's got me on the run, at least on the ropes. And Brother Steve said, "Baker, he can tell you." He said, he started talking about, "Oh, I thank God for my preaching in the radio station. But I never heard the name in my life. I know he said he listens every day, been listening for years. He ain't never give a dime. So he must not love it too much."
Yep.
What you love, you'll give yourself to.
Amen.
But here's what he said. He told me all this stuff, and then he started leaving. He said, "You know," and he said, "you're looking at a man that's had some experiences." He said, "I've had some experiences." He said, "I was sitting on the platform one time. And he said, before I ever realized what was going on, said I had my hand up in the air and was standing right out on the edge of the platform. Said, I don't know how I got out there. Said, I just was there. Just was out there. And he said, I remember one time, the Lord walked up to me. I forget what he said was that. And he said, can you imagine the Lord slapping somebody? Said, he just slapped me. And he said, it was just like, my body was like his body. He said, his hand just went right through me and said, I never felt a thing. I thought, oh, buddy, you've been eating sauerkraut and wieners, boy. You got problems. I'm talking about big problems. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to hear Brother Hall get up in glory and delight in the fact that I jumped up off that platform and raised my hand up in the air. That don't prove nothing. I mean, I've had my hand up in the air hundreds of times since I've been saved. What's that prove? They raise their hands up in the air at ball games.
Amen.
What's that prove? I think Baptists ought to do it. I mean, I've shouted before. What's that prove?
Amen.
Can I glory in my shout? Can I glory in a raised hand? Can I glory in jumping a pew? I'll tell you what I can delight in. I can delight in the old rugged cross. Thank God for Calvary. Amen to God. It's my joy and my delight is in the cross the Lord Jesus died upon. Bless His wonderful name. Now, do we have confidence in the cross that it defeated the devil? I have to give the old man credit for one thing. He did say, Satan is already defeated.
Amen.
And Jesus defeated him on Calvary. And I have to give him credit now where credit's due. Now, he made that statement. But do we have that confidence, or are we worried about boogeyman? That fellow that may have six fingers and on each hand and six toes on each foot when he appears. I'm going to start keeping my eye peeled for any Jews that's got six fingers on their hands. Now, I'm not a prophet. That's how I'm thinking that way. Six, six, six.
Amen.
And you put that other six together, makes 24, and that makes him the devil of the Old and New Testament. Government. 12 is the number of government. 12 in the Old Testament, 12 in the New. 12 tribes, 12 disciples. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. But he's whooped. We're not waiting for him to be whooped. Listen what the psalmist said. He said in Psalm 118:22-24, he said, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Is that marvelous in your eyes tonight? Yeah. You delight. Is that really marvelous in your eyes? That this is the Lord's doing. It wasn't our doing. It was, oh no, it was God's doing. Salvation is definitely of the Lord. Thank Lord, bless His wonderful name. Where's that hole in the wall? Where do y'all want a new door in that new building we ain't built yet? Amen. I'll make one. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day, not a day. The day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. There's our deliverance, there's our delight, and there is the devil's defeat all in one verse of Scripture. Son, he's a roaring lion, but I'm going to tell you, as the old preacher said, his teeth been pulled.
Amen.
About all he can do is gum around on you a little bit. Amen. That's right. He's what? That's Indiana broke for whipped. He's whooped.
Amen.
His head has been bruised.
Amen.
His authority removed.
Amen.
It's like the preacher said that morning. Jesus walked right into the devil's office that day and took the keys of death and hell away from him. And shame on the devil! He don't even have the keys to his own office anymore. Amen. He's whooped.
Amen.
Do we have that confidence? Hey, if we really believe that tonight, it ought to change our attitude. It ought to change our heart. It ought to rejoice us and revive us and bless us to know that our adversary, the accuser of the brethren that has been cast down, is defeated.
Amen.
Not waiting to be, is. The full sentence just ain't been carried out yet. And I'm going to tell you, he ain't going to be like them jokers from over in Indiana. He ain't coming out of his prison.
Amen.
And he's got a life sentence in one day. He ain't coming out.
Amen.
I want to say number two. I have confidence in the tree. But do you have any confidence in the throne? The Bible said in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I want to hit this, and then I want to mention three words. He said, "Come boldly." That sounds like somebody's got confidence.
Amen.
Do we really have? I'm going to tell you, we're not praying with any confidence. I can tell the way we pray. We are not praying like we've got any confidence that God will do it.
Amen.
We can approach the throne boldly. And there is one there that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Amen.
We don't have to come to the throne. If we're abiding in Him, we don't have to come to the throne ashamed of ourselves. Come boldly.
Yes.
Confidently.
Yes,
To the throne of that grace. Now I want you to notice, there's three words in that verse I want you to underline if you haven't in your Bible in Hebrews 4:16. They're mercy, grace, and help.
Yeah.
Mercy, grace, and help. Somebody said, why, preacher? Because in mercy, we have confidence that we'll find relief. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That don't make a dead Baptist get happy.
Yeah.
You know what relief is? Anybody in here ever been in some real, I'm talking about real, as Brother Allen say, real, excruciating pain?
Yep.
When that doctor shook my toe up there in that spinal fusion and said, Mr. Hall, and I said, yes. He said, do you feel that? I said, yes, sir, and a lot of other things too. They rolled me up to my room, and I've never been in so much pain in all my life. I couldn't get enough of that stuff, whatever it was. What did they call that medicine I was taking?
Morphine.
Huh? No, it wasn't morphine. I can't think of it. They let me punch them, and I'm going to tell you, I was punching for it when it wasn't available. I'm talking about being in pain. But when I got a shot of it, relief. Woo! Relief, friend, was on the way. You remember how it was? Hey, I'm telling you, we can approach God's throne of mercy with confidence that there's relief for the pressure that we're living under. God will grant us some relief for the pain that we're experiencing. God will grant us some relief of the trials and the calamities and the troubles of life that we're in. Oh yes, there's confidence in the throne because there's mercy there, ladies and gentlemen. There's relief. There's relief. I'm hurrying. Then he said, you may find mercy and grace. Now that grace is God's favor. But I for literated sake, I put confidence we find in finding refreshing. That is a little revival. God will show us favor. There's favor at that throne of grace. Oh, we go there broken down, hurting, spiritual pain, mental pain, physical pain, family pains, church pains. Oh, but thank God there's some mercy for relief. And there's some grace for a little refreshing. It's like a spring shower on a hot day. It'll wash away all the dust and make things smell so fresh in your life again. There's nothing like coming out of the throne of God's grace. You'll feel like a brand new man. Hallelujah to God. I've went in before sick in my soul and came out revived in my spirit. Walking in the power of God, I've went into the throne room of grace, defeated before, and come out of there with victory, hallelujah, in my heart, knowing there's a God on the throne that can change my life in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. God can change everything about all of us. Hallelujah. Woo, I just about feel crazy tonight. I don't know if you're getting any help or not, but I'm helping myself. I'm going to get some help whether you want it or not. Now, that third word, help. Mercy and grace define help in time of need. Help. That is recovery. That is recovery. Old David and First Samuel, when he went to Ziklag and found Ziklag burned with fire, you know what he did? He grabbed that ephod and went down and sat down and said, Lord, shall I pursue? And the Lord said, pursue. He said, shall I overcome? The Lord said, you shall overcome. And you'll not only overcome, David, but you'll recover everything you've lost. What have you lost tonight? Lost your joy? Lost your shout? Have you lost your desire to go on for God?
Have you lost your willpower? Have you lost your confidence? I'm telling you, you can have recovery. There's confidence in the throne of grace. Amen. Amen. You can recover all. David went on and followed God and without fail recovered all his wives and all of his children and everything. Recovered it all, every bit of it. And you know what? It's amazing thing, because them Amalekites was having a ball. They were eating and drinking and being merry. And yet, apparently, from that scripture, they had not touched one sheep that belonged to David and his men. Because it said, without fail, they recovered all.
Amen.
Apparently, for some reason, God prevented them from touching anything that belonged to David and his men. And I'm going to tell you, if you think for 1 minute God is going to let the devil put his meat hooks into anything that belongs to you and keep it, you've got a wrong thought of God. Somebody said, well, he did Job. Did he now? Maybe you better read the last chapter.
Amen.
I believe Job recovered it all.
Amen.
You know why? Because he prayed. For him and his friends, and God let him recover it all.
Amen.
Plus some.
Amen.
Devil can't put his meat hooks into nothing that belongs to you and keep it. He may borrow it for a while to torment you and aggravate you, but he can't keep it.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. I don't care what. If it's joy, power, grace, love, mercy, truth. He may put his hooks into it and drag it away from you for a little while, but that throne of grace,
amen,
is a place of recovery. Amen. He said to find help. Amen. Help. Four little old, four letter word.
Amen.
Help.
Sir.
That's one little four letter word. Ain't nothing wrong with Baptist saying. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
There's another one. It's called work.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Now I'm trying to hurry. Number three, confidence. Do we have confidence in the Lord's testimony? I have confidence in the tree, confidence in the throne, confidence in the Lord's testimony. Somebody said, where do you get that? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you that Paul wrote that, but it's not Paul's words. It's God's words. It's canonized. It's canonized. God said you can be confident of this very thing, that work that I have begun in you, I will perform it until my day. By the way, the day of the Lord, that's His day. Amen, that's another message altogether. But there's coming a day that's the day of the Lord. He's going to have His day and He's going to have His say. Amen. And He's going to have not only His day and His say, He's going to have His way. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. That's right. Do we have confidence in His testimony? That's the testimony of the Lord. For you and I. Testimony of His faithfulness. Do we really have confidence in His faithfulness? The Bible said in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that ain't Tony the Tiger saying that.
Amen.
That's God saying that. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
Oh, brother. You don't have to worry about the Lord letting you down, church. He'll hang in there with you.
Amen.
If you abide in Him, He'll hang in there with you.
Amen.
It may seem like you're going under, like you can't go another mile, but I'll guarantee you He'll guard you up. He'll strengthen your loins. He'll carry another mile of the way. He'll help you through the storms and through the night, through the trials and through the fight. Amen. Through the day and through the darkness, through the waters and through the floods. God will lead you on. God will do that because He's faithful. He's faithful. We have confidence in that faithfulness. I won't say, do we have confidence in His favor? And I've already mentioned something about that. I'm not going to mention much. He will. He that hath begun will perform.
Amen.
That's not only God's favor, faithfulness. That's God's favor. Amen. He that hath begun it. Began it in you, didn't he?
Amen.
That's favor. He will perform it. He will perform it. Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence in our future? He said He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whoop! I'm glad my future's secure.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Thank God my future's not dim, it's bright.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, how can it be bright? Praise God, the building's been flooded. It smells under the high heavens in here. Everybody's got sinus problems and everybody's got allergy problems and it stinks and everything's molded and mildewed and so forth. How in the world can you have any confidence in the future? Well, my goodness. We've got $13,000 in the bank and the missions is paid. Woo! Amen. But I'm going to tell you, my future goes way beyond that checkbook. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus will say, Holy Spirit, you've begun that good work. You have performed it until my day. From here on, I'll take over.
Amen.
And that Holy Ghost, just like He led Rebekah to the edge of the field at eventide and she looked out and saw her Isaac, the Holy Ghost will escort us to the edge of the field. That is, in the clouds.
Amen.
And He'll say, ladies and gentlemen, all the redeemed of all kindreds, nations, and tongues of the earth, behold, the Lamb of God, who was crucified to take away the sin of the world. And I'm telling you, friend, when we lay eyes on Him, hey, God, things is going to pick up, sure enough. Oh, yes, when our eyes are fixed on the crucified one, things will pick up in our life then, sure enough.
Amen.
He'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then I want to say, He said in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to His working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself.
Amen.
Look around tonight at people around you whose bodies are wasting away. Their old body that they're dwelling in is frail. And soon and not too far down the road, they may take their last breath on this side of the cross. But thank God He's going to change. Oh, yes. Oh, Job said, I'm just going to hang around here until my change comes. I'm just hanging around waiting on my change. And He's going to change our vile body into a glorious body like Him. Son, I'm telling you, that ought to make a dead Presbyterian get happy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Then I want to say, and this is really going to throw some of you for a loop, I've still got confidence in the temple.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter.
Amen.
And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I want you to listen to this verse, and I'm closing right here. You listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?
Amen.
Now somebody said, that's talking about us personally. Wait a minute. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Get these next words. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
Amen.
For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Amen.
Now that's in chapter 6, in chapter number 3. But if you go to chapter 6, it also talks about the temple. But the temple there is the temple of this body.
Amen.
But the temple in chapter 3 is talking about the church. Just like the tabernacle in the wilderness. Solomon's temple where Jesus dwelt. The body of Christ where God dwelt. And He dwells in the church today. Well, He dwells in us individually.
Amen.
But He dwells in the temple of the church. Study it out. Go to chapter 6 and read that verse, just 6:19. But you're bought with a price. This and that. Talks about being bought with a price. He's talking about the temple of your body. In chapter 3, he's talking about the temple of the church. And that verse said, any man defile it, said God will destroy him. Didn't say God kill him. Said God destroy him. How many illustrations do you want me to give you? You're not going to put your hand on God's church.
Amen.
And get by with it. I don't care who you are, me, you, or anybody else.
Amen.
God said He will destroy you, and He will. And I'm going to tell you something. You hear what I'm telling you? I've said this a lot of times. There are things worse than death for a saved person.
Amen.
What kind of confidence you have? And now, little children, abide in Him. That when He shall appear, we may have we. John used to put we in there. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Let's stand together.